There we go. Parsha by Midbar. Made it to New Sefer.
Oh.
So this was actually inspired by a comment by Rabbi Dov Fink, who's at the YU Gruss Kollel, was our scholar in residence last week. Just kind of a random thought I thought was interesting. So see if it works. This is my idea. So we're starting the book of Numbers. So start with all the numbers. We have the census, Bnei Israel, source one, and it was Kachetzi B'Hashem Moshe, Vayikudim Mar Sinai, just like, and Hashem commanded Moshe, and they were all counted in the wilderness of Sinai, preparing to go into Eretz Israel. And we have the list of the numbers, Vayu Bnei Reuven B'chor Yisrael, and the children of Reuven, who was the firstborn of Israel, told Talmud, their genealogy, their families, their households, the number of the names per head, every male from age 20 and up, everyone who was eligible to be in the army. And et cetera, it gives a count to go through every single tribe.
So, you know that word pakad has a lot
Pakad,
of
yes.
different meanings, right?
It
Which
also
is
means
the
to appoint.
original? Which is the core meaning, to count or to remember?
I think the underlying meaning is to appoint, to put in a position, to command.
And then from that, we
Take
get to
note of,
count, and
right,
then we
that,
get.
and that becomes its own shear that the counting is not turned by every number, but to notice everybody, to take account of everyone.
Oh, that's good.
Right. I've talked about that before in the concept of that Sippur and Mispar also are related, recounting and counting.
Oh, that also
Okay.
is good.
That works very well. Yeah. So that's the idea that we're not a number, where every name there is a story, the Mispar story behind it. But
Oh,
that's a
that's
separate shear. It's a
nice.
bit shear.
Okay.
And I've given it before, but that's not this one. If this doesn't work, I can give that one. But I want to look at the fact that Reuben is called Bechor Yisrael, the firstborn. Make a point. Because we all know that he really wasn't. He didn't ha really have the status of Bechor. He may have been born first, but Yehuda was the leader. As we'll see, right now we start with Reuben as Bechor Yisrael, but when it gets to the actual organization, the camp, the first one was, in source two, Ish al-di globo tot, everyone organized according to their banners, Yachanu ben Israel, et cetera, Vachonim came Mizracha, and the first ones, and the east, they go Machane Yehuda. Right? And then when they actually go moving, that's in Parashat Balotcha, Vahi Bishna Shanit, Bechoresh Hashanit, Beshrim Lachoresh, on the 20th of Iyar. Now Leha Nami Al Mishkan Etut, the Anan raised, and they started moving toward Eretz Israel. They said, Degel Machane B'nei Yehuda B'rishonah. Let's see what that means. Yehuda goes first. He has the honor of being the first. Also, Nachshon B'nei Minadav, the leader of Yehuda. And then Yosef, of course, got the double portion. He gets two tribes, and we see that beginning of the parsha when it's counting them all out. These are the names of those who will do the counting, who will lead each tribe. Reuben is named first, but Bnei Yosef, Ephraim, Elishama ben Yehud, Limnashe, Gamliel ben Pedahtzur. Yosef gets two tribes. So aspects of Bechorah mean the leadership goes to Yehuda, the double portion goes to Yosef, and Reuven is left with the name. Okay? That's the Midrash, and we talk about Reuven's role calls him a Bechor Shoteh. Not so much a foolish Bechor, but an imperfect Bechor. He doesn't have that status. Divrei Hayamim says that explicitly, source 5, when it's going through genealogy. Reuven, Bechor Yisrael, and this in the Perek Hey is the are the children of Reuven, who was the Bechor of Israel. Kihua Bechor, because he was the firstborn. Aviv, and translating that as when he profaned the bed of his father. Not Bechoratol Bnei Yosef Ben Yisrael. His Bechor will get to Bnei Yisrael. Lo Yitya Hityaches Lebechorah. But Yosef didn't get called, wasn't considered the Bechorah in terms of Yichus. He just got the double portion. Ki Yudah Gavar Bachiv, Nagibi Mena, because Yehuda was the leader of all the brothers, but Bachor Yosef, but the Bachor in the sense of the birthright, double portion went to Yosef. But still, Reuben's called the Bachor. Whenever they're counted, here they're here. He's when they do the first census, he's called Bachor Yisrael. When they do this, the genealogy in Dibrei Yamim is called Bachor Yisrael. And later in Parsha Pinchas, when they do the final census before they enter Israel 40 years from now, it says similarly.
They have a typo if you
I
want
do.
to
What?
correct it. He
Go
called, on. He is called, or
oh,
was
thank
called.
You. We'll correct that. Thank you. So hopefully this will save.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
My fancy programming that I can edit on the fly here.
Pretty nice.
I want you to, here also the sense of su'u and kiv, but counting here is lift up the heads. They're important, etc. Reuven Bechor Yisrael, same thing. It calls Reuven the Bechor Yisrael. And at this, it just strikes me as almost like an insult. Like you get the name, but you know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that go and be Bechor. You don't get any of those. We're going to call you Bechor. You're Bechor, but you don't, you know, you're not the leader. You're not the double, the whole double portion thing. Nope, not for you. You get to be called the Bechor. Well, I was going to remind you, Reuven, of what he was, what he lost. But I think that's not really what call him Bechor. Like the idea that Lo Hityaches LeBechor, Yosef doesn't get to be the Yichus of Bechor. That when we're doing Yichus, we're doing genealogy, it's he's always listed as Bechor.
What's that word, lehityaches, there? It's not spelt that way, right?
Well, the sin and the samach go both ways, are interchangeable. So that is the same word that in modern Hebrew is with the samach.
Okay.
Okay? That
Yeah.
is the word of,
that's the word.
It is the word to be, to have yichus.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah, sin and samach will come and will be interchanged, really the same letter. So let's go look at that initial incident. We know the incident where Reuven loses his birthright. Right? We said in Divrei Yamim it was Chilalo Yitzuei Aviv, defiled his father's bed, profaned it. The original story is in Parshat Vayishlach. After Rachel had died, then Vayhi Bishchon Yisrael Ba'aretz Ahi, when Yaakov was living in that land, so this is before he comes. Before he comes back to Yitzchak in Hebron, Rachel has died on the way. She's buried at probably she's buried in Kibbutz Rachel, but you don't know where Kibbutz Rachel is. That's a separate tier into itself. But at that point, Vayelech Reuven, Reuven went Vayishkavet Bilha Piglegesh Aviv, and he lies with Bilha, the concubine of his father. Vayishma Israel, and Israel found out about it. And then there's a paragraph break in the middle of the pasuk.
Really?
Yep.
You mean in the Torah, this is how it's laid out?
Yes, I laid it out this way intentionally. That there's a pasuk there, but there's a paragraph break right there. There's a new paragraph. Vayhi b'nei Yaakov shnei masarim. Yaakov had 12 sons. B'nei Leah, b'chor Yaakov, b'nei Leah, the children of Leah were b'chor Yaakov Reuben. Reuben was the b'chor. B'shimon v'vi Yudav Yisachar Zvulun. So after this incident of Vayishkavet Bilha Piglegesh Aviv, it makes a
that's
point
what
of telling
Avshalom
him.
did, right? That's what Avshalom did.
That's going to be a very important point.
Ooh.
Very good.
Good
Yes.
morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
So we're talking about Reuven Bechor Yisrael. Whenever he's counted, he's always called the Bechor, even though he doesn't get any Bechor status. He doesn't get the portion, he's not the leader. So Yaakov, on his deathbed, he gives the bracha to everyone, and he makes that connection with us, that this is what happened. Reuven b'churi ata. Reuven, you are my firstborn. Kochi b'rosh reshit oni. My strength, the first of my power. Yeter se'et b'yeter az. You get the extra stuff literally to carry, the double portion. B'yeter oz, the extra power. You should be the leader. But you won't. Pachas kamayim, you are reckless like as what you're impetuous like water. Al toter, therefore you will not get the yeta, you will not get anything extra. Alita Mishkabe Avicha, because you went up on the bed of your father. As chilalti yitzui Allah. You profaned, defiled my bed. Therefore, you are not going to be the Bihar.
What's the last word?
Allah went up. That's how you want to
okay.
You went
Okay.
up on this bed here. Let's see how I want to translate that. Let's see that. He went up to my couch. Okay. He has to put a pause. As chilata, you defiled it. You to Allah, you went up on my bed.
It's my bed,
Yeah, he was. But there's a has chilata, the tipcha as a comma. You to Allah, saying that's what you did, right? You went on there. So what does vayishkavet bilab plegashaviv mean, right? We'll have to look at that a little bit more. But even at that moment, the main point in the Torah, where after that paragraph break, right? That's a bad thing. By Shema Yisrael, Yisrael found out, but he's still the Bechor. Okay? But, right, at that moment, right, he's not kicked out of the family for this, which is the argument that this can't be literally sleeping with his father's wife. Right? This is not such a terrible sin because he's still the Bechor. Right? As Divrei Yavim says, no one else is. Hityaches the Bechorah. He keeps that. Where the Midrash puts it, Vahi Vishkon Yisrael at this moment, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon, Kasha hi shal shelet yuchsu mefei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehu shi takid mimkoma. That God does not want to break this chain of yichus, of genealogy. He will move it. It says, Vahibishkon Yisrael, Ketiv, that at this time when Vahibishkon and Vahishkav, Ruven, Pilagash Aviv, then right after it says, Vahibbe Yaakov Shneim Asar, B'nei Ruven, Bechor Yisrael, he's still called the Bechor. Marayata, Amar Mayata, you say, Bechorat Mamo Natalimenu, that he loses the Bechor of the inheritance, meaning he doesn't get the double portion. Yosef gets that. But not only menu bechorat yuchsin doesn't let lose his status within the family tree of being the bechor. He's still listed first. He's still called the bechor. Rabbi Chabi b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Amar afilu b'shara kilkala em yachsin el Ruben. Even at the lowest moment, Ruben's still called bechor. No one else gets that yuchus, as it says.
Well,
right
after. I mean, the thing is, factually, he is the firstborn. You can't
that
change
true.
That.
Right. And we're going to emphasize
well,
that.
He's like disowned. Like Yishmael was born first, but like he doesn't.
Right. So that's the point. That's the kind of the point,
right,
is that Reuben's not disowned.
Right.
At all. Right.
I see.
Whatever happened, he's not disowned. And therefore, he is still called. And we're still going to call that. And it's not just that he's listed first. We're going to keep saying Reuben is the Bechor, Reuben is the Bechor. Every time we do the Yichus, we go through the census, we say Reuben is the Bechor.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's there's some kind of point there that we're making. It's not just he's still on the list and we're going to count him first. We could just probably well count him first without saying Bechor Yisrael. We keep doing that. And Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Acha adds that Reuben is Bechor. What does that mean? He's a long list of what he's still the Bechor. He's Bechor Le'ibor, he's the first one conceived, Bechor Le'leda, first one born. Literally, and Bechor the Bechora, and he's like still is Bechor in the sense he's still called the Bechor. And goes through a list over there. So, what does that mean? So, again, this is kind of my idea. He's called the Bechor because he keeps the Yichus, right? He keeps the relationship to his siblings who are still the Bechor. What does that mean? So, this is a thought from the Pachad Yitzchak related to Pesach and the B'ni Bechori Yisrael was meant to be called a Bechor, and comes to the Gemara and Ketuvah, which says that one that you have to respect the Bechor. Gemara is talking about the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em. Eshet Av Nami Daraitahi. That Kibud for the wife of one's father is part of that mitzvah. Says Kabet et avicha v'et imecha. And the et is interpreted as a with. That there's someone, it's more than just avicha. Et avicha zu eshet avicha. It means also not just one's father, but also one's father's wife. That's within the getter of kabet et avicha. Et imecha zu bal imecha. So too one's the husband of your mother needs to be respected. That's part of kabet avicha. And the vav yetera, the vav there, right there, ve'et rabot achicha gadol. You need to have the same kibud for the big brother or sister in your case, Davida. Sorry about that.
How is that vav yetera? How would you say both?
I don't know whether you said kabed et avicha, kabed et imecha. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to say why we did one drusha or another. I'm just going to say, Mar is saying one has to respect. I'm going to say so everyone has to respect the Bahor. And Rav Huttner is simply saying that once we've derived that, that's because the Bahor has the status of being worthy of being honored like a parent. It says Pirush Agra, the villain God explains. In nutshell, riboy zeh. The idea behind adding this riboy of the vav, right? Why we do that? That's we'll have to take it for granted. The Gemara does do that. Ki kamosha kibud avot magilahem. Why does one have respect for parents? Itzach him hatchala lekloliut hatoladot. That's the beginning of the generations. That's the whole reason one exists. Is because one's parents, you owe them that respect. Bechor too has the status of kind of starting the chain of all the, it influences all the other children, that come after them. So that the nature of the bechor sort of sets the tone for how the family exists afterwards. Your firstborn child is the one that makes you into a parent, effectively. And then how you deal with all the other children is reflected in that. So somebody that firstborn has a little bit. And I said, chelak dak shel avahut. It becomes a little part of the parenthood. Avahut ve'imahut, l'shar halvalato. So it becomes sort of like a little essence of parent there. Mitzad zeh, tofezhi chachmat lashon kodesh. So therefore, we would call in Hebrew, I don't know where this expression comes from, called Bechor Kamin Abahut Shnia. It's a secondary parenthood. I don't know if your firstborn was like that or not, Phyllis.
Michael, he's still the head of the family.
There you go. So it has that status. I don't know. Abahut Shnia. Right, that's an influence, right? That Reuven becomes a part of sort of the spiritual genetics of the rest of Bnei Israel. That he doesn't lose. And that's Bechor, that's his influence on the rest of Bnei Israel. Now the question is, what was that influence? That should be it. What was it about Reuven that we all reflect? And there can be multiple answers. Talk about him doing tshuva. See about that in a second. It talks about Reuven doing tshuva for having done this aver with Bilhah, and how he tries to save Yosef, and the whole story of the Dudaim. I get his both Rachel and Leah put together. I want to look at that aver. Mm-hmm. What happened there? We talked about before that Chazal don't take that literally. She didn't really have relations with Bilhah. And that what he did, he moved the bed because after Rachel died, he wanted his mother Leah to be Yaakov's primary wife. So basically moved Yaakov's bed in with Leah, his mother. That's the way Chazal look at it. But part of why we say that is because Bilhah was not a Pilegesh. He couldn't sleep with Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv because his father did not have a Pilegesh, right? Bilhah was a there was no concubinage there. We know that. But Titinu Bilhah Shivchata Leisha. She's a full wife. Rabbi Yaakov. Similarly, when Yosef was The wives, they were full wives. They were not concubines at all. The fact that they were called, that he calls it Bilhah, a Pilegesh is saying something about how Reuben looked at Bilhah's status. Because this idea of Lishkab in Pilegesh has a very specific meaning. And that was your point about Avshalom. Okay? That it means that Vayishkavet in Pilegesh is a statement, a assertion of loyalty. I'm the king now. I'm in charge. That's what that means. Okay, this is the Malbim talking about the case where Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, accuses Avner of Vayishkavet Pilegesh Aviv. Pilegesh HaMelech, the concubine of a king is forbidden to a non-king, non-royalty. As part of the honor of the king, you can't use any of the king's tools, literally the scepter of that. Taking a pilegesh is a sign of saying that I'm in charge here. Lots of examples in Tanakh. Obvious one is where Avshalom rebelled against his father. That's what you mentioned, Phyllis. That Avshalom, when he rebels against his father, he pitches a tent on the roof of the palace. They go up Shalom and Pilakshay Aviv. It goes into the Pilakshim Lane before all Bnei Israel. We don't know what he did. He just goes in with the tent with them. Clearly, that's a statement. These are mine now. I'm in charge. And the more subtle examples when Yonatan rebukes David after the sin of Bathsheba. What he says to him, Yonatan David Ataish, famous line, you are the man. You're the one who sinned. Gomar Hashem Elkei Yisrael. Thus saith the Lord. Anochi mashchiticha lamelech al Yisrael. I had you anointed king over Israel. Anochi etzalticha miyad Shaul. I saved you from Shaul. Ve'eten lecha et beit Adonecha. I gave you the house of your master. Ve'et neshei Adonecha b'chakecha. And I gave the wives of your master into your club. You now own your wives, okay? And the question is, what does that mean? David doesn't marry any of Shaul's widows after Shaul dies, right? But Nelachad Beit Yisrael, if you die, I give you that in charge, etc. So the Maamar says that Nechah Shehem B'Shulchan, you have control over them. That's the same sense. That's the same sense of Vayishkav Pilegesh, that you are now the king. So whatever Reuben's act was, it was a premature assertion of leadership. Reuben was the Bechor. He would be the leader. He would get all that. But that's why Yaakov says he's pachas. He was impetuous, reckless. He jumped the gun. He asserted that before Yaakov was dead. And therefore, Yaakov said, no, you don't get it anymore. That's why his punishment was simply pachas kamayim. You tried to become the leader. You jumped on it. Whatever your reasons were, but now you've lost it. You've lost that leadership.
What's pachas?
Translating that as, I was just impetuous or reckless.
Pachas. You know that word, Davida? Pachas.
I mean, in this context, I've heard it, but like, is it used anywhere else? What, I don't even know how to you.
Let's see what homomorphics translates it.
It's like a, it is a funny word.
Pachas. Says Pachas. It's literary though. Haste or swiftness, recklessness, rashness, impetuosity.
But it
Evidently,
looks like it's not used in modern Hebrew.
it looks like it's historic.
Watch, we're both going to hear it today in some
Yeah, there's a
casual
word for that
speech.
where. There's a word for that effect where all of a sudden you hear it all.
Yeah.
It doesn't have pichiza.
Like hit pachzut? I don't know. I'm just thinking like the kind of thing that it would be.
Pachzut.
Nachon, doesn't it sound like something that somebody would say? I think I'm just making it up.
Okay, so definitely means, jumping the gun. Acting without thinking. That's simply what it's seen. Ah, therefore, Reuben, you're no longer the leader because that's what you did, right? Lost that position. Okay, so he still, but he still called the Bechor. We do that. So there's another Asa Bechor there. Yeah, Reuben kept on that list in Breishit Rabba. He's the Bechor le dies Bechor le. The Bechor Rai gets the title, and it continues. It says he's Bechor the Tshuva. He is the firstborn of Tshuva. It's Noah. Hi, Noah.
Hey, there she is.
See? Yay!
Oh, look at that.
Are you all big? You look happy. And Rabbi Zari. Rabbi Azariah Amar Af Bechor Nevuah, that Reuben also gets to be Bechor of Nevuah. What does that mean? The first Navi, Shenemar, Tichilat Diber Hashem B'Hoshea. Hoshea the Navi, descendant of Reuben, and he was somehow first of something. What kind of first? It goes back to the Tshuva, which is the Midrash says about when Reuben tries to save Yosef. Yosef, Reuben al-Bor, Hechen Haya, where was he? That he went back to try to save Yosef. That he was in sackcloth and fasting. Tanito Haya Usuk, he was engaged in the sackcloth. Al-Bilbul Yosef Aviv. He was trying to do tshuva. He was feeling bad about what had happened with the literally the confusion of the bed of his father. Again, not exactly what happened there, but that thing, he was doing tshuva. And so the Midrash says, Hoshea gets to be the premier Navi of tshuva.
Hoshea?
Hoshea. Sefer.
What does that have to do with Reuven?
Oh, he's a descendant of Reuven. Really, he's got the genealogy. Hoshea is from the tribe of Reuven.
Oh, he's from Reuven.
He's from Reuven. Okay. So that the Midrash says that, Hashem tells him, since you did this tshuva, I will give your children this, the nevuah of tshuva, right? That is Hoshea, that is tshuva, Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Shabbat tshuva, that's from Hoshea.
Danny, is there a typo there? It says Eitz Yosef, or is that
supposed to be? Eitz Yosef is the name of a commentary on Breishit Rabbah.
Oh, so I thought it was like Al Yosef, like
no.
That's what he was fasting about.
No, it's the Eitz Yosef explained that what was he doing, and that's I didn't quite the whole Gemara whole.
Okay, I got it. Okay,
yeah. That's the Eitz Yosef says he was Asuk al Bilbul Yitzayadim. Okay, so he says Tshuva Hashem Yisrael Ad Hashem Alkecha Ki Chashavta Bonecha. That's what Hoshea says. In Israel, you do Tshuva. That's our Shabbat Tshuva. We quote that every year, for Tshuva. That's Hoshea. That's because Reuven gets to be the Bechor LeTshuva, and the question then is, lots of people do tshuva before Reuven does. It comes up before in the Torah. Why we call him Bechor LeTshuva? What's special about this? So this is from the Art Scroll Midrash, quoting the Kutzker Rebbe. So the Kutzker Rebbe understands Hoshea's call for repentance as referring specifically to sinful actions when committed with righteous intentions. The path to hell is paved with good intentions, and that requires tshuva. You mean well, he reads it as tshuva Yisrael, repent Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha. Really, he reads it as al Hashem, for what you have done for God's sake. You need tshuva for those things. Right, for things you've done for sake. Ki chashalta b'avanecha, you stumbled through your iniquity. Right, your avon was a source of stumbling, meaning that the iniquity lies, you've stumbled, miscalculated with good intentions. That's the Kutzker reading that also. Yeah, precisely because actions seem righteous, one must assess them with great care to recognize one's sin and repent. That's an innovation. Being able to say, we meant well, but we were wrong. I'm not going to say anything about contemporary politics, but that's what I feel about Dr. Fauci, who is not saying I'm sorry. That that we may have overreacted in terms of what happened. It was meant well, but it did not work out well. Go ahead and say this was wrong. But Reuven, who re-ran to build his bed in order to honor his mother, nonetheless repented when he realized he had sinned, initiated this form of repentance. That's what the sin of Reuben was. He was pachas, acted impetuously, acted recklessly, didn't think about it, meant well in the way Chazal look at it, but it was still wrong. Therefore, the sin of Hoshea became the first to exhort Israel to repent for such sins. That's the Chorah the Tshuva. So we had this Bechiza, recklessness, but Bechiza is not an unalloyed evil. It's not such a bad thing to say, okay, I'm going to do what I think is right, just jumping in and doing it. Because we're approaching Shavuot, which is the holiday where we celebrate our Bechiza as a nation. And what's the modern Hebrew word for recklessness? Nobody does that. You don't have no idea, because you all think very deliberately, plan everything out beforehand. So we have no, the word is not relevant. I don't know. Here, I'm going to look that up.
Loza here.
Google, yeah, that's what Google has, Loza here, and does have Pochez.
What does it have?
Google does give me Pochez for reckless, Pochez. Harebrained, foolhardy, irresponsible.
Oh, foolhardy.
Yeah, yes. So Google does say Pochez is okay. Does have that.
You should try and use it and see if somebody,
Yeah, but. Yeah, we're saying, so where do we see that Bnei Israel are poches? The answer is
Nachshon.
That's a good example. That's not the example I'm looking at. The example I'm giving is Reish Shavuot, Mekasei for a brit, Vekrod goes Neha'am, that when Moshe brings the Sefer Brit and reasons to the people, we talked last week what that meant. We recall Hashem Dibur Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. Right, we say Naaseh V'Nishma, classically interpreted as to do and to listen. They keep the Torah before knowing why. Whole story about, that Hashem goes to all these other nations and they ask what's in it, and they said, well, that's too hard, we're not going to do it. Israel said, we're going to do it. We just jumped in. And that word is used in the Gemara. Pachas. Example. This is what Rabbi Fink had mentioned here. Humina. There was a heretic. The Chaziel L'Rava. He was watching Rava, who was learning some topic in Gemara. Yatva etzpata didei, and he was just so excited. He was literally sitting on his fingers, on his hands, didei tute kara, or under his legs, and was squeezing them. Kamavayin etzpadama, and they started bleeding. And Rava is so into his learning, he didn't even notice that he had cut himself on whatever it was. So the man, this heretic, goes and laughs at him. Amarle, Ama Paziza, you foolish nation. The Kadmitu Fumayu Leudinaichu. Look, this is an example that you put your mouths in front of your ears. You spoke without thinking. Achti bepachazaitu kamaitu, and you're still in this pachazness, that pachazaitichu. You're pachiza. Right, you're acting without thinking. You should pay attention to what's going on around you. And what do you mean? You're reckless. Ispiresha ibay luchula mashma. Back in the beginning when we accepted the Torah, you should have listened first. You should have figured what was in it. Imitzitu kablitu. If it was something that you could do, you should have accepted it. Ilo lo kablitu. You shouldn't have accepted the Torah at all. So says this man, this heretic, laughing about the Nasa ben Ishma. You guys were, you are b'chazi tuche, b'pachazu tichayhu kamaitu. You're still there in your pachazness, your harebrained recklessness that was accepting the Torah. And there's a dialectic there, right? You can't always forge ahead with thinking, but you can't be paralyzed over analyzing anything as well. And we have a classic meme. When you have stuck with two buttons, you got to make a decision.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have a little bit of that. So, and we're left with, so that's, I think, is what we get from Reuben, that we're still in that, we're still the children of Reuben and Pachas Kamayim. And we still tend to jump in. We want to do good. We may do that without thinking first. And that's not all 100% bad. We can still have that, still call Reuben our other. It's still Bechor, we still have that influence there. So.
Meaning, like, it's always been that's kind of like looked down on, like, well, he lost everything because of it. And you're saying, actually, no, it wasn't. He didn't lose everything, and there is some.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He did not lose everything. It's not good. And yes, the path to hell is paved with good intentions, and we know that. And something doesn't work, but that ability to say to act, and then to do tshuva afterwards is the other side of that. To realize, okay, that once I've done this, meant well, it didn't work. Let's go back and say, okay, that didn't work. Have the humility to do that is part of what that means, and that's what you need to have as well.
And this, you have to accept the Midrash that what Reuven did wasn't sleep with the wife, with her.
Right, right. And that's a whole other discussion why we really right. want to accept that. The biggest argument within the context is the fact that he's not punished for it.
Right.
Right. It's a very minor thing if that's what happened. And the fact that afterwards, by you've been a Israel, the Torah makes the point of Yaakov finds out about this and doesn't react in any substantial way.
Yeah.
And at the end just says, okay, you're not the Bechor there.
So it's double. What he did wasn't so bad, and his intentions were good.
Right. And that's what we're taking from there.
And the
argument of that calling Bilha Pilegesh. In this case, is kind of the Torah telegraphing. That's what whatever the act was. That's what it meant. That's what it was seen as being. His avera was treating Bilha as a pilegesh, which she was not, and treating someone as a pilegesh in this case is obviously the kind of
yeah.
In the is the assertion of okay, I'm in charge here.
Well, I like it. I think you could go forward with it on Shabbat.
Okay, thank you.
You have
I will stop here.
All right. Recording.